you're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, a global outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose is to equip Christians in life and truth, encouraging you in your faith and equipping you intelligently to represent it to a world easily convinced by a corrosive culture intent on conquering your Christian faith. Equipped with truth in Christ, we're called to experience life to the full and witness to the world by His power working through us. This is a live program, and we invite your calls and questions. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We kick off the broadcast today with the quote of the day. This is a quote from the Apostle Paul, and the backdrop to it is a vision that Paul had of a Macedonian man who was calling him to come to the Macedonian territories. And as the story unfolds, Paul boards a ship. He goes to Philippi, chief of the Macedonian territories. He meets Lydia. Lydia becomes a convert and becomes a most generous supporter and supplier of the Apostle Paul and those who worked with him in the church. One of the dramatic backdrops to all of this is how the Macedonian churches grew in that territory as a result of Lydia's conversion. But many people in the church, in the Macedonian churches, who had position and power and status, lost that position, power, and status because they had accepted the gospel. And so the churches and many of the people in those churches became poor. That is the backdrop to the quote of the day. Again, this quote comes from the Apostle Paul. You can find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where he says, "And now, brothers, we want to know, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do so as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the gift of giving." Again, the quote of the day comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, has to do with giving, and might be some prologue to asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Your giving is giving through us, making a difference in the lives of people for time and for eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone calls. Cal up first in Surrey, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Cal.
Hi. Hank, we need to reclaim Christmas as our own, because we so often we get told to say not happy holidays and season greetings, and we've kind of made it a wash of a holiday instead of celebrating the person of Jesus. And to talk about yesterday's programming, I urge all believers to pray about the law, because that fabric that you were talking about, yesterday was about the fabric of the lawmakers are the people that make these laws that are taking away our liberties. So I'll just, on that note, I'll just let you talk. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. And let me mention that when you talk about saying Merry Christmas, what you're in essence doing is recognizing what the early church has always done. They're reclaiming something. So when Christmas was originally a holiday on December 25th, it was a holiday also of a pagan worship of pagan gods. Well, Christians didn't worship the pagan gods. What they did was they established a rival celebration, which had to do with worshiping the true God of the universe, who condescended to cloak himself in human flesh, who came and lived among us, so that we might attain to the nature of God. We might become gods by grace. You know, the famous saying in the Christian church from the first centuries on, until the time of Martin Luther and even beyond, was the moniker of Athanasius, who said, God became man so that man might become God. In the incarnation, we see the opportunity to become what we were always intended to be, and that is gods by grace. Now, that does not mean that we become what God is in the Godhead. No, it means that we can become partakers of the divine nature. Just as Christ took on a human nature, we can partake of the divine nature, and we do that in a lot of ways, including through the divine gift of the Eucharist. Now, what I want to say here is that we ought to not just say Happy Holidays, we ought to say Merry Christmas. We ought to take all the trappings, even those trappings that people don't understand, and use them as springboards or opportunities to share the truth, the life, the grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. I want to mention, as we bring this segment to a close, and we'll go back to the phone calls in the next segment, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I want to mention something else that I have written about in a book called The Heart of Christmas, and that is the giving of gifts at Christmas. Some of the most troublesome aspects of gift-giving are the materialism, the commercialism that are so inextricably woven into the fabric of Christmas, and the attendant pressure then of giving gifts to others out of a sense of obligation rather than freely out of love. We can all identify with this pressure, but it's important to recognize that perversions do not in and of themselves invalidate the practice of giving gifts. As followers of the one who gave himself for us, we ought to be joyful in the very notion of giving to others. Having the unique opportunity of giving to ministries and propagating the gospel, of giving to the downtrodden, the oft-forgotten, of giving to family members, to friends, that ought to overwhelm us with joy, especially when there is no expectation of giving to get. And this was the teaching of Jesus Christ. Remember when he was dining at the house of a prominent Pharisee, Jesus admonished the guests, and presumably the host as well, saying, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, because if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So far from suggesting that it is inappropriate to show kindness, to show generosity to family and friends, what Jesus was here doing is highlighting the reality of genuine kindness, genuine generosity motivated by love for others, as opposed to the expectation of favor in return. So Well, this Christmas season, may we give with a grateful heart as we too have been given, because far from a burden, giving can become an extraordinary blessing. And as such, whether you are, well, inscribing, as I'll be doing later on tonight, Christmas cards, or purchasing a gift for a loved one, do it all with a grateful heart, with a song on your lips. And when you give to the needy, remember the words of the greatest gift of all: do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We are coming up to a station break. When we come back from the break, more answers to your questions, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
In his newest book, Last Call for Liberty: How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat, Oz Guinness provides a stirring vision for faithful citizenship and renewed responsibility for a nation in need and a world that is watching. Stand with the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast during the key month of December to ensure that CRI's supply lines remain open into 2019, and receive a copy of Last Call for Liberty for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Stock markets may soar, stores may be packed, and the entertainment industry may hum with headlines, but don't be deceived. Radical anti-democratic movements are being fomented and funded on both the left and the right. Americans are angry at other Americans, strenuously struggling for what both sides believe to be the soul of the republic. Our society's conflicts are rooted in two rival views of freedom. One embodied in 1776 and the ideals of the American Revolution, and the other in 1789 and the ideals of the French Revolution. Americans must choose which view of freedom to follow. Don't miss Oz Guinness's essential new book, Last Call for Liberty: How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. To receive your copy of Last Call for Liberty, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Next up, I better put on my glasses because I can't see. Oh, Bill in Champaign, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call. I have a question that's puzzled me for some time. I suspect it's not puzzled a lot of people, but the New Testament, some of it is written by authors who I presume must have been illiterate, like the fishermen, Peter and John. Is it possible? And how did they write? How were they able to write the New Testament? Were they illiterate or were they not? And I will listen to you and hang up. Thank
sure.
you.
Well, thank you so much. That's a great question. And I think it's important that we don't fall for historical revisionists. One in particular, Bart Ehrman, he has made a cottage industry out of these kinds of distractions. And, of course, he's trying to have his students and people that read his books believe that the Apostle John was illiterate. And he goes so far as to opine that Peter and John are explicitly said to be illiterate in the book of Acts. So he appeals to Scripture as the basis for suggesting that the apostles were nothing more than illiterate fishermen. But this is far from the case. One of the surprising errors is the idea that unlettered in the context of Acts chapter 4 means not educated, because what it actually means is that they were not educated beyond the elementary education accessible to most first century boys. But not only is it a stretch to demean the Apostle John as illiterate from the standpoint of his formal education, but the criticism neglects the immediate and overall context of the book of Acts. Context, context, context. If you look at the context, you find that the unlearned apostles were constantly astonishing the Jewish teachers of the law with their knowledge, with their wisdom, in exactly the same way, or maybe in a similar way, as Jesus himself had done. And though he too was without the requisite rabbinic training demanded by Ehrman, Jesus, of course, astonished everyone from the Caesars to the common human beings that listened to him as he spoke. And, of course, Acts chapter 4 says nothing about whether John was illiterate or literate one way or the other. Following the resurrection of the master teacher, what we do have an indication of is that the apostles, and this is two chapters later, I believe, in Acts chapter 6, that the apostles devoted themselves to the study and ministry of the Word of God. Now, think about it. An entire adult lifetime of that kind of study could easily account for John's literary expertise, not to mention the role of divine inspiration in the writing of John's epistles, his gospel, and his apocalypse. So you think about John, and I've written about this extensively in a book called The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. And what I point out there is that when you read the five books of John, just as when you read the five books of Moses, you are overwhelmed with the literary prowess of Moses as well as the Apostle John. I mean, the writings are a literary masterpiece. Now, I've also written about this in a book called Has God Spoken?, where I talk about how John's fingerprints are all over his manuscripts, so to speak, And therefore, when you come up against the attendant, supposed conflict raised by skeptics that, well, John never wrote this to begin with. He couldn't have written such an elegant masterpiece because he was unlettered. Well, you find out through that, through Has God Spoken, that in fact John was the author of those five books, the Gospel, the Apocalypse, or the Book of Revelation, and the three epistles. But Bart Ehrman, a chair of the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, he makes a plethora of accusations against the Bible and the biblical authors. So he goes on and on, from bad to worse. Of one thing he is absolutely certain, God has not spoken. Well, why does he say that? Well, as he tells the story, he was still a student at Princeton Theological Seminary, and he submitted a paper that attempted to resolve a supposed difficulty in Mark chapter 2. The gospel writer records Jesus saying that David ate the shewbread, and he did that in the days of Abiathar, the high priest. And although the Old Testament account indicates David ate the shewbread when Abiathar's father, Ahimelech, served as high priest. And so while reading Ehrman's paper, the professor scribbled a simple comment in the margin, well, maybe Mark just made a mistake. So after a lot of contemplation, Bart Ehrman says, he came to the realization that his solution was indeed a stretch and concluded maybe Mark did make a mistake. And that epiphany opened the floodgates. Maybe if there was a mistake there, there were a lot of other mistakes as well. And so maybe when Jesus says later in Mark chapter 4 that the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds on the earth, maybe I don't need to come up with a fancy explanation for how the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds when I know full well that it isn't. And maybe these mistakes apply to bigger issues, issues such as false prophecies of an alleged Messiah. So here he goes from one alleged discrepancy to another, to another, to another. Now, there are answers to all of these questions. And what I've done is I have given the answers to Bart Ehrman's supposed contradictions in the Bible, which he says is an absolutely flawed, fake document forged, he says, and filled intentionally with lies. So if you want to get the answers to these kinds of objections, they're included in my book, Has God Spoken?, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, available for those who support us. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Alex in California, listening on the web. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
So I got a question to ask about my personal life. It appears that my marriage right now is in a rut, and my wife threw me out the house yesterday. This is probably like the eighth or ninth time she has. It has nothing to do with sexual immorality on my behalf. This is a repeated pattern. I'm thinking if my wife is not having an affair, I'm thinking she's having an emotional affair with a coworker, a so-called brother in the church that we know him.
Alex, I know this is a very sensitive situation, but I'm right up against the clock. I have about a minute, so quickly. Again, my apologies for being so abrupt.
Yeah, I just want to know if my wife keeps throwing me out the house, would that be considered abandonment?
Well, I think it certainly could be in certain situations, but we have done an article that deals with this, and I think it'd be very helpful to you, Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage. I mean, the ultimate, as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is to always open or leave open the door for reconciliation, because God hates divorce, and marriage is a testimony of Christ and the church, a love fare that's given in parabolic manner. So it corresponds to your life and your testimony. So, yeah, there are difficulties in marriage, but ultimately seeking to find forgiveness and restoration is the ultimate good of every Christian. But there are grounds for divorce and remarriage. They're given in this article. You can find it on the web at equip.org. And again, my apologies for being so short with you. It is simply a matter of time, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast during Monday through Friday. At this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Thank you again for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And see you tomorrow for more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and answers to your questions.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the strategic resource, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. To receive a copy of this vital book as our appreciation for your prayerful and financial partnership during the crucial year-end month of December, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.